from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, November the 30th, 2014. Carter B. Todd is the speaker of the morning, teaching on knowing who you are.
Well, Father, we do thank you. We're grateful. We're forever grateful. I ask you to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I thought the message yesterday that Brother Dickie gave was actually almost the message that God gave me for this morning. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So, I'm going to stay in that fashion of that subject. He was talking about prophecy, prophesying, and I can remember the first time that I experienced prophecy. I was raised in the Methodist Church, never heard of prophecy in my life, never been around any of the gifts of the Spirit. I was raised in the Methodist Church. We didn't teach you much.
No, we didn't.
But anyway, I'm thankful for my beginning.
Yeah.
I was raised in the church. That's important.
That's right.
I knew who Jesus was. Didn't know him personally. Too bad, went to church for 20 some odd years and never met Jesus. That's like being in somebody's house and never meeting the person who owns the house. That's kind of weird, isn't it? But anyway, over all these years that the Lord has used me in ministering to people, I've begun to see a common thing, and that is the failure to know who you are. Not who you were born as, not who people said you are, but who you really are in the eyes of God, your Creator, and to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And I want to start by using, here's another thing that's been very clear to me lately, is Ephesians 6:12, that says we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. I don't care what your problems are or who they're with,
right.
It is not flesh and blood. Every problem we have is because we are fighting the enemy. He is what we are wrestling. The fight is in the spiritual realm. And therefore, you have to go to the spiritual realm to fight.
Amen. Amen.
That's been made very clear to me. Mm-hmm. Every single thing that we wrestle with is spiritual.
Amen.
Everything.
Sure.
There's no getting around it. So the importance of being in spiritual warfare is paramount. It can make the difference of making it or not. I'm not saying making it to heaven. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you've accepted, you've acknowledged what He did for you, you'll get to heaven. You'll go to heaven. Okay, so here's an illustration. The president of the United States, the day before he is sworn in, has absolutely no power. None. No power to be president. None. But the day he is sworn in, I don't know if it starts that day or if it's the next day, the first full day after he's sworn in. I'm not sure when those powers kick in. But after he's sworn in, he has, and I'm not talking about any particular man, I'm talking about an office, the office of the President of the United States, which has been held by many people. I started to say, and we'll be healed by many more people, but I'm not sure of that. I do know it's been healed by many people in the past. We have a president now. He's in office. So the day after that, he has all the power that belongs to the office of the President of the United States. Now, the day before you were born again, you had no power. None. In fact, Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where you were before you were born again. I don't care what family you were born into. I don't care what kind of prestige they have. That doesn't even matter. Before you were born again, you had no hope and you were without God in the world. But now, after you were born again, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ, after you were born again. Now, if you want to follow along, turn to John. I'm going to read some scriptures here. John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm talking about understanding the position that you are in now. Just like the president, after he was sworn in, it didn't take him long to understand the powers that were available to him. We need to know the powers that are available to us. Because if you don't know that you have them, you'll never use them. And if you don't use them, you just get beat up. And I am growing weary of seeing God's people beat up.
Amen. Yeah.
Beat up, I'm telling you, imprisoned, bondage, sickness, torment.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah, enough.
John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was the light, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children, for those of you who get squirmy that the woman's not mentioned, sons or children of God, to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And of his fullness have we all received. We have received his fullness. If you have received Jesus Christ, you have received his fullness. Now, I look up that word. You know what fullness means? Filled up. Complete. The minute you were born again, that completeness came into you. He didn't come in as baby Jesus and have to be all grown up before we can do anything or before we have any power. You know who we should learn from is Elisha. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. You know Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was with Elijah all the time. And when it came time for Elijah to be taken up, before he left, he asked Elisha, let's look at verse 8. Wait, no, I've got to go back up before that. Oh, dear. I'm just going to have to paraphrase that. He wanted a double portion of what Elisha had. And Elijah said, well, I tell you what, if you see me when I go, it'll happen. But if you don't see me when I go, it won't be that way. So in verse 8, that still isn't where. No, not yet. Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you. And it came to pass, verse 8. And Elisha took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided to the one side and to the other, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now, I didn't see anywhere there where the Lord told Elijah to do that. He just did it, and the waters split, and they went over. The two went over on dry ground. In verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked the hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and separated them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. That must have been pretty cool to witness. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Don't you love that? Hey, Elisha knew what he wanted from Elijah. And when the mantle fell, Elisha wasted no time in picking up that mantle and testing it out. He didn't have a problem with that. That's what he asked for. That's what Elijah granted him. He had just seen Elijah split the waters. Now, if I'm supposed to have double what Elijah had, I'm going to see if it's there. I love that. I'm a lot like that. If you tell me that I can do something, I'm going to believe it, especially if it comes from here. I may not believe it from everybody, but I do believe it when God says it. And these accounts, these are not stories. They're not fairy tales. They're real. This really happened. And so these are my examples to learn from and to emulate. That's what Elisha did. He emulated Elijah. He picked up that mantle, and he went right over to the water, and he smacked it. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Is he with me, too, like he was with Elijah? Yes. Yes, he was. And yes, he is with us. Jesus. If you don't know sort of the office that you hold, well, you're not going to do a very good job. And as Christians, we need to know the position that we are in. Luke 10:19, Jesus. You know, Jesus sent, I had a little challenge one time reading the scripture. I have a sweet Baptist aunt, and she has a problem with me. I am a challenge for her. And so one day I was reading a scripture to her, and she said, but who was he talking to? He was not talking to you. He was talking to the disciples. Actually, it was the scripture that says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do. That's in John 14. I just want to go there for a minute. Hold your place. Because see, sometimes we don't really see what it says. Verse 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus was speaking, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. But he was talking to his disciples. And I said, yes, yes, he was. But he also said, he that believeth on me. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Well, yes.
Amen.
Yes. But how is it that I can read that scripture and you can read that scripture and we get different things? But you don't even want the answer to that. Well, do you have one? Yes, I do. Well, I want to know what it is. I said, okay. You cannot believe what that scripture is really saying because you are in a church that believes that the gifts and all of those things no longer happen. That is a doctrine that you are sitting under, and that has put a ceiling over your head to really believe from God. He who believeth, I held my Bible up. He who believeth. Now, that's written in red. That's not my word. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. And if you want to argue with me on that, fine, no problem. But if you want to argue with Jesus, I'm sorry. You lose.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
And I close my Bible. And that's the last spiritual conversation we ever had. I said, I will not discuss God's word with you anymore. And we haven't. I love her. We both agree that Jesus is the Son of God. You know that scripture that says, until we all come into the unity of the faith, I thought, we're going to be waiting a long time. But no, God said, you can agree that Jesus Christ is my Son. We have unity in that. And I love her. She loves me. It's all good. But, you know, it's an antichrist spirit in some of these religions. It's antichrist spirit. So those things need to be broken off of us. Those antichrist spirits from, and I did that the other night. We don't need to do it again. From churches we grew up in that didn't go all the way. Okay. Romans 8:15. Wait, there was another point I wanted to make here, Lord. What was it? No, it'll come. It'll come back. Lord, bring it back to me if you want me to say it. Luke 10:19. Jesus needed some extra workers. There were 12 to begin with. Now he's going to send out even more. So he has these 70 that he also gives power to. He sends them out. This I like this. In verse 7, it says, in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. I could stop there and go for a while. Go not from house to house. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are there. Heal the sick that are there. My brother, I have two brothers. One was a preacher. He died recently. He died in September. And one is a banker. And the older brother that died had an infirmity. And that's not what killed him, but he had an infirmity. And so I was, you know, the meeting I said where the girl jumped down and flew out of the chair? Well, when I was coming home from there, I had to pass through the city where my brother lived. And so he had been in the hospital, but he was home. So I stopped by there, and he's a Methodist preacher, and we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things because I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. And he explained to me that it was a vessel, a large vessel, and Jonah was in the bottom of it. And it was like I had seen the Antichrist. But David, the Bible says, well, I know, Carl, you know, this is what the seminary did to him. Because when he left, he was like me. And then he went away to seminary, and he came back, and he was not like me. They had squelched his fire, his passion, his love, his belief. They did a job on him, let me tell you. I said, really? Well, David, tell me this. If that's what you do with the story of Jonah, what do you do with Jesus being conceived by a virgin? Where's your story there? And what about the resurrection, for Pete's sake? You know? Who gets raised from the dead? What do you do with that? And if you've got an explanation for all of those, none of it's true. Well, that was kind of scary. Okay. Anyway, I went into his house, and I said, you know, David, the Bible says, when Jesus sent him out, that whatever city you go into, heal their sick. I am here to heal you. That's what the word said. I believe that.
Yeah.
Laid hands on him, anointed him, prayed for him. He got well. Died later of something else. But, you know, he didn't tell him to go pray for the sick. He said heal them. See, we've been given some things to do. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed them. Now in verse 19, see, they went out and they came back and they were so excited because they did what the Lord said and they had results. And they got really excited. And the 70 returned again with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I saw him fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is something to be excited about. That is exciting. Now, it's always followed up with, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, but that the Spirit rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. True. We rejoice that our names are written in heaven. But there should be a result of our names being written in heaven. Don't minimize what they did. That's important. It's like, okay, well, we don't need to heal or cast out demons. We just need to be happy our names are written in heaven. Well, hey, you've been put in an office. You've been given a commission. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. That's what it's all about. It's about Jesus. Jesus came, and the only reason he left was so that he could send himself into all of us so we could continue to destroy the works of the devil, to preach the kingdom of the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom of God. we're doing pretty good preaching the gospel of salvation. We're talking about the kingdom of God here. And that's mentioned in Matthew chapter 10, the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 10, first 10 or 11 chapters. He sends the 12 and commanded them, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, it was for the Jews first, but they received him not. Thank God. That's how we got in. But as you go, preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now see, in another place he says, if I with the finger of God cast out demons, the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's important. Casting out demons is important. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the commission. Go preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Not just salvation. That's just the first step. That's the best thing. But it's the first step. We don't stop there, unfortunately. The church almost as a whole has stopped there. We get saved and then we gather together and party. That's not what it's about. When the corporate anointing of God's people come together, there should be miracles in every service.
Yeah.
Every service. Okay? Go to Romans 8 verse 15. This is another important part of your position. Now, you used to be your mom and dad's kid. Oh, you may have gone to this school, that school, this education, that education. That was before you got saved. I'm turning pages. I'm finding Romans chapter. Okay. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me tell you, your family tree just got shortened. Now you are a child of God. He is your father. That's the position. You're a child of God. You've been adopted. You are a son or a daughter of God. Now look at Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good. Now, some people say that. They just thought it there. Well, all good things work together for the good, or all things work together for the good. And I always say, to those who love the Lord and are called according to the verse. All things don't work out together for the good for everybody. Take a look at the world. But if you love the Lord, I don't care what comes into your life, it has the capacity to work for your good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not only are you a child of God, you are Jesus' brother or sister. Somebody today was telling me about their family and they dropped a name and I said, never heard of it. Well, it's supposed to be, you know, I should have known it. If I had been involved in sporting goods, and so I would have known it, but I didn't know it. And I said, so what? My brother owns the world. And it was kind of startling at first for the hearers. He's your brother. Jesus. Jesus is my brother. We gonna drop names here? I can one-up you on that one. No, I'm not out to one-up. I really am not out to one-up. But I know who I am. And it's important to know who you are. Because if you don't, you'll never accomplish what God has for you. As a Christian, you might have a mother and a sister and all that, but the commission that he's given us, if you don't know who you are, you'll never do it. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. And what does it say? To be conformed to the image of his son. Well, who are you trying to be, Jesus? Well, that's what God wants us to do, not be Jesus. There's only one Jesus, but he wants us to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be being conformed to his image to become more and more like him, just like Jesus was just like God. See, there's a trickle-down effect here. Philippians 2. You know, sometimes when I talk about these things, people make me feel like I'm being sacrilegious. But I know what it says. In Philippians chapter 2, let me just go up to 1 so I don't leave anything out. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassion, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, when I'm in a group of people, sometimes I'll say, did you notice that dress she had on? It was so cute. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't. Did you notice this or that? I'm sorry, I didn't. You know, when I look at a person, I'm more likely to see their countenance. Are they hurting? Are they sad? Are they troubled? That's what I see. I don't see outfits and stuff like that. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But see, Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We are to be conformed to the image of God. We're not trying to be God. We're not to try to be Jesus, but we are to be like them. And he has commissioned us to have a position in the church, the body of Christ, all of us. We'd be having a huge effect on the world if we would just be who we are. If we knew who we were and did what we were commissioned to do, instead of letting how we were raised dictate who we are or define who we are. Our past does not define who we are. When you get born again, that's what it means. New birth, new family, not even a new past, because there hadn't been a past when you first get born again. The past is the past. When he says, take up your cross and follow me, I used to wonder what that meant exactly. Because I'll be frank with you, I don't have a cross. You know, you see these guys walking on the side of the road with those big wooden crosses. I don't have a cross. I guess I'll make a cross. I'm very literal minded, but I knew that's not what it meant. But what does that mean? We are to take up our cross and follow him. The thing, what is crucifying you? What is crucifying you? Well, take up your cross. In other words, and follow Jesus. That would get rid of a whole lot of people's problems. Just start following Jesus. But we get stuck. We drag those grave clothes like when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he came out. He got new life, born again kind of, but he had gray clothes, and he was bound by those gray clothes. And that's what we carry in to our Christianity, all the gray clothes. Well, thank God for deliverance. That's what it's for. Lucy, letting go. That's what we do here. Tear off those gray clothes. Now bury them, burn them, whatever you need to do to them. Take up your cross now and follow Jesus. Ephesians 2. We'll just start with 1. And you have he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. You know, one time the Lord told me, or when I read this, what? The prince of the power of the air? There's a prince of the power of the air? And it's the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience? And I had a disobedient son. So I started binding that spirit of the prince of the power of the air that's working disobedience. Bind that spirit. Among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's a position. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's why sometimes people say, well, actually, I did a teaching recently on Omega Man Radio, which the prophecy thing, I thought about that because I had received a prophecy here about 6 years ago, and the guy said that God was fixing to amplify my voice and extend my territory and all these nice things. You know, I was thinking, okay, I'm ready, Lord. I'm for it, whatever you want. But, you know, that's a prophetic word. Now we'll see. That's what I do with all prophetic words. Well, we'll see. Okay, so 6 years ago, and then I got an invitation to be on this internet radio show. And then, that was 6 years ago. 2 years ago, I got a prophecy from somebody else here. He said that the message that God has put in you will be heard by hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands. And I'm like, wow, Lord, how that's going to happen. But okay, Lord. Whatever. We'll see. And then the invitation came to the radio show. Well, I'm pretty sure that the audience of the first radio show, it wasn't hundreds of thousands, but it was hundreds and thousands, but not hundreds of thousands. So I'm thinking, okay now, we'll see. But this isn't it, evidently, so we'll see. Well, the other day I was talking to him. He will call to say, what dates do you have open, whatever. And, by the way, he said, I threw your name in the hat for another radio show. I said, really? Okay. Yeah, it's somebody who has a program on this radio program, but the audience has been and can be up to 800,000 people worldwide. I thought, oh, well, there's the hundreds of thousands. Now, I haven't been invited yet, but I believe. The first part of it's already happened. I'm believing. Not important to me whether it does or not, but if it's important to God, I'm in. I'm in. Okay? See, prophecy is wonderful. The first time I heard prophecy, Kyle had gone into full-blown rebellion. I'm telling you, it was like my spiritual rug had been jerked out from under me. I didn't know what I was believing anymore because I really believed that if I trained them up in the way they should go, that they would not depart from it. And he's departing. So what else am I believing that's not true? That's where that took me. It was a bad place. A bad place. God understood. He didn't kill me. He didn't disown me. He didn't rip up my adoption papers. He just waited for me to come to my senses, which I did. Lord, forgive me. What I found out was I didn't know how to fight. And that's what I'm telling you all today. You better learn how to fight. Here's your choice. Fight or die. There's your choices.
Yeah.
Makes fighting a little more appealing. But that really is your choice. He is out to kill you. The enemy is out to kill you. He hates you. Why? Because you're connected to Jesus. And he hates Jesus. Because Jesus is destroying his works. But here's something the devil knows that we don't know. We can also destroy the works of the devil. That's why Satan hates you. That's why he's got to convince you you're nobody, you're unworthy, you're a sinner, blah, 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 whatever else he has to say. He's a liar. He is going to do anything he can to keep you from standing in your position and using the power that you have been given. Not only have you been given, he is in you. Do you believe that? He showed it to me. In a vision. Yep. Your young men will dream dreams and your, whatever that scripture is. I know dreams and visions are involved. I don't know who has what, but. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, it says. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. What am I looking for? Oh yeah. 17. John 17. In Jesus' prayer. Jesus says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Here's another one of those future things. He wasn't just, Jesus is talking to God. He's talking to his Father in this prayer. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. See, right here, even when he was praying before he was crucified, he was praying for you and me. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. God was in Jesus and Jesus was in God. That's what Jesus said. Not my words. That they also may be one in us. He wants me to be one with them in them. You, all believers, will become one in them and them in us. We don't even know what we carry. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, he has given, people are always afraid of taking God's glory. He gave it to you. And the purpose is for the world to see and know that he is who he says he is. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. There's another position. You are loved. He said so. You are loved. If you're going by your feelings, you need to get out of your feelings and stand on what he said. You know what? There was a discussion in our home over the Thanksgiving holiday. Oh, well, it had to be Thanksgiving Day because then I left. And one of my relatives was talking to my son who was in for the Thanksgiving holidays. He was there a week before Thanksgiving. And this conversation was going on. Well, I believe this and well, I believe this and well, I believe this. And my son spoke up and said, you know what? What you believe doesn't matter, but what God says does. And I was, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That means a lot to me because he joined the Mormon church. That came out of the son who was in the Mormon church. And he said what God said, not what God said. What God says does matter. That's the truth. What you think, actually, I had said that to him years ago. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't change the truth. What you believe does not change the truth.
Yeah. You trained him up right.
Well, I had decided I would never talk about that issue. And he forced me into it one day and how their church is set up properly because they have the president of their church is the prophet. And God doesn't do anything without first telling his prophet. And I started quoting scripture that I didn't even know I knew. But Jesus knew. And Jesus spoke it to him. And I went later, I know that's in here. Lord, where is it? And it was Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God spoke in times past unto your fathers by the prophets. But now, through Jesus. Big deal, you got a prophet. That spirit of prophecy is in all of us. We have access to what God says because he's in us. Isn't that awesome? How anybody can look in the mirror another day after this and think, I'm just nobody, I can't do anything. No, they don't accept me. Listen, you're accepted in the Beloved. What more matters? I used to be one of those people. I'm not knocking it. Come here and get delivered. Because that's a spirit of inferiority. It's connected to the bastard curse. And there's a brass ceiling over people with the bastard curse. They can't reach God. God can't reach them. There's an unloving spirit. If you think you have that, go listen to it. The teaching. It's on LHBCOnline.com. We break for a commercial. LHBCOnline.com. There are thousands. Hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands. But there's a lot of teachings on that website for you to go to and hear for free. Free. You got a problem? Go look for a title. Ask God to show you which one. And he will. And you can be helped. Any time of the day or night.
Amen.
You don't need to call me. My phone is off. Listen, when I go to sleep, off. Well, even your children, off, I said. My sleep is important. So we are seated with Christ. That means everything under him is in subjection.
Amen.
The angels are in subjection to Jesus. If we're seated with him, are the angels subjected unto us?
Yep.
Yes. Another sweet Baptist lady, a friend of my mother-in-law's, we live with my in-laws now, and she wanted to hear the radio show, so my mother-in-law taught her how to listen, and I taught on angels. And that kind of disturbed her a little bit, that I would send an angel to do something. So she comes, she said, well, you know, when I need something, I go to the Lord. I don't want to bypass the Lord. And I said, well, no, me either. But the word says that the angels were given to those who would inherit salvation. Are you one of those? She's Baptist. I know she's going to inherit salvation. She is saved. She was a Sunday school teacher for years. She knows her word. Some of it, except what that doctrinal demon won't let her see and believe. She said, well, I'm glad you explained that to me. I understand it now. I said, I hope everybody understood it. But then my mother-in-law told me several days later, she went to buy a book that Billy Graham wrote on angels. So I guess she's going to check out my doctrine. That's okay. Okay, so Daniel 11. You can close. Daniel 11. verse 32, good, says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do," period. They added exploits. Good word. Strong and do. And over in the margin it means such as act. So you're going to act on what you believe. David, the shepherd boy, knew his God. And he slew the bear, and he slew the lion, and then he slew Goliath. He knew his God. He stood up to that big old giant and said, "You come with a sword and a shield, but I tell you, I come in the name." See, we've been given his name. One day praying fervently, God said, "Why are you coming to me with this?" I'm like, "What? Did I say to you that if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed that you would ask me to move your mountain?" I had to think about it. No, I believe it says, "If I have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, I shall say to the mountain, whoa." See, I didn't know how to be who I am. We've been given a position with power and authority, and yet we're sitting around asking God to do everything.
Yes.
And we're not seeing answers because he's going, "I gave you the power and the authority to do it. Why aren't you doing it?" I wish we could hear him say that. If people could hear him say that to them, they would stand up and do. And do. That's what he said to Moses. Listen, Moses was trying to quiet the people. He was trying to comfort the people and encourage the people. You know, fear not. God's going to fight this battle. Blah, 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 blah. God said, "Hey, what are you crying out to me? But raise up thy rod." I had to look that up after God said, interrupted me. You know, he did that to Moses once. Raise up thy rod. Yes, he's given us a rod of authority. It is the name of Jesus Christ. And he wants us to raise that up. He wants us to begin. He gave us permission to use it. Why are we scared to use it? "In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall whatever the snakes and drink the poison and it won't hurt you." Don't do that. That's not what that means. "But in my name." Those who believe in my name. Boy, if we were tested by what we're doing in his name, there would be a lot of us that would have to go to summer school. It's time to know who you are in relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Get in the Word. Find out who you are. Not who other people say you are. Not who you think you are or aren't. Find out who God says you are. Encourage yourself. David encouraged himself in the Lord. If you have to write down these scriptures and go stand in front of the mirror, and let me tell you what, I did that with a man that was near a nervous breakdown. I prophesied to that guy. You know what prophecy is? Speaking with inspiration. I went to pray for a man. He wouldn't even come out of his bedroom. And he was supposed to stand before the Congress in 3 weeks. I wasn't so much concerned about him standing before the Congress. His mother was in a mental institution, and his grandmother died in a mental institution. That's what I was concerned about. And I knew those same demons were tormenting him and trying to drive him right into the insane asylum. And he was a Christian. And I took him the Word of God. Let me just read a few scriptures. And I did, and I had a bunch of scriptures telling him who he is in Christ. "You have the mind of Christ." How does that fit in within the same asylum? I didn't say it to him like that. I just said, "I bought you some homework. And here are some scriptures that I want you to stand in front of the mirror and read to yourself 3 times a day. 3 times a day. If I were a doctor and gave you a pill that this is going to fix you, take it 3 times a day, you would do it. Do this 3 times a day. I guarantee you. is going to change your life. But I gave that homework to him after I had anointed him and cast out demons and then laid hands on him for healing. I told his wife over the phone, you tell him that he will stand before the Congress. Now look back on that and go, I said that. Why did I say that? I was inspired because I know my God and I know the Word. And I know that if you do the Word, you get the same results that Jesus did. Now, not all the time, but I had hope. I always go believing it's happening, as far as I'm concerned. Well, he did stand before the Congress. He didn't go to the insane asylum. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the casting out of demons and the laying on of hands for healing. That he did not have to go where his mother and grandmother went. That was a generationally inherited curse of insanity. But he's not insane. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you've heard enough. I send you home with that. Lord, I ask that this word has fallen on fertile ground. The ground has been plowed up quite a bit this weekend. So I believe the seed is going to find its way down into the soil and take root and bear fruit. Lord, we thank you for this camp. I just bind every spirit, every lying spirit. This thing has been talking to you while I've been teaching. It's not going to work for you. It might work for her, but it's not going to work for you. You know, lift your path. Whatever. You have a new future. You're new in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I just encourage you to begin to step out. Be bold. You know, a lot of things that I have done because I believed it and they happened were shocking to me at first. Like Jerry said the other night, I'm glad she told that story about that red wasp. Yeah, here comes the flea right between us. And then it went and landed on the door facing. And I thought, I'm going to kill that thing. Reach for my shoe. Off it went. No, I take dominion over you right now, and I command you to come right back where you were so I can kill you. I mean, it was just... Well, we have dominion.
Yes.
We have dominion. But I decided to use it. You know, if you give me an electric mixer, I doubt if I'm going to be mashing potatoes with a fork. That's how I see this. He gave us dominion. Use it. Use it. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I may have to teach this one every single camp. We've got to get it. We've got to get it, Lord. Let us get it. Make it. Show them. Confirm this to them. Let them dream about it. Let them hear it when they walk and they talk and they lay down. Let them hear it until it becomes real, and they do it. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food. The Last Supper this time, the last meal. We just thank you, though, Lord, for all the good food, for Rick and his faithfulness to come, and all the people that volunteer and help. We thank you for that. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.